I want you to take your Bibles, if you will, please, to John, the Gospel of John. We're in John chapter 8. We're going to start there again tonight, today. And I appreciate you being here for this. We got our banners up. And I would encourage you, we're talking about the truth. And I would encourage you to, we've got banners in here, we've got banners out in the hallway. We'll probably preach most of those, but I would encourage you to go home and look at those references and read the scripture around it, and I think it'd be a blessing to you. We belittle truth. We make little of truth. The fact is, how can we live without truth? How can we make decisions without truth? In John chapter 8, Jesus is speaking here. And look what it says in verse 31. He says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him." They had believed and received who Jesus is. And there's a lot of folks in this room, I'd say the vast majority, have believed and received who Jesus is. And that's a wonderful thing. Listen, you're not saved without the blood of Jesus Christ. We got to trust who he is, what he did on the cross. He paid for our sins. Plus nothing, minus nothing. What the choir opened up with, we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that he died, and that he rose again, and that he rose again for us, and when he rose again, it justified our entrance into heaven, into the presence of God, because when he rose again, it proved all the sins that have been laid on him, which are ours, have been paid for in full. If you don't have that settled yet, get that settled today. If you don't know for sure if you died to go to heaven, we can show you from the Bible and give you the truth of the Word of God. These people, here's the one they says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him," watch it, "if ye continue in my word." Now they started with the word and received the word, Jesus Christ. But now there's more to it than that. If you want to live a successful life, if ye continue in my word, if you stay in it, if you abide in it. In fact, it gives it the idea. Jesus said, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. But if you abide in me, you'll bring forth the fruit, you'll bring forth the product that you're looking for." Why isn't life changing? You're not abiding in him. Well, when I go to church, that doesn't mean anything if you're not abiding in him. I don't know about you, but sometimes I can sit in church and it goes in one ear and out the other. We got to get some stick-em in there somehow or other, that everything's gonna hold on in there. We got to realize, we got to grab the Word of God, we got to take the Word of God, we got to accept the Word of God, and we got to apply the Word of God. So, well, I believe in it, fine, but faith without works is dead. You can believe it all you want, but if you're not living by it, it's not going to do you any good. So he said, "Listen, I want you to continue in my word," verse 31, "then are you my disciples." So, well, we're all his disciples. No. He says, "Then are ye my disciples," learners. Disciples indeed. We go right over that little word indeed. That means really. "Then are you really my learners?" If we're not continuing in his word, and we're not abiding in his word, we're not staying in his word, that's why we've got these little Bible reading schedules that we have out there. One in the biblical order, one in the chronological order. We want you to read the Bible. Now, of course, you could. Now, the fact is, sometimes you just need to know the facts. I understand. And sometimes you read through it. Well, learn the story. Well, you need to know the story. Listen, you're not wasting your time getting the Word of God in your heart and in your mind. God says, "I'll teach you, I'll lead you in all truth, and I will bring it to your remembrance." He promises. You can just, that's John 6:16. But watch me. We've got to spend some time. We've got to continue in his word. Now, watch. If we continue in his word, we shall be his disciples indeed, verse 32, and ye shall, that into what's what he saw? Ye shall know the truth. Now hang on to that thought. Ye shall know the truth. How do you know what to do? How do you know who to marry? How do you know what kind of job to have? How do you know who to vote for? How do you know? How do you know? If you know the word of God, you shall be wise of the word of God. And the truth shall make you free. They answered him, "Will we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage any man? How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" And Jesus answered him, "Verily, truly, I would tell you the truth here, guys. I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin." This is what we talked about last week. When sin gets the best of you, you lost. They beat you. They got the best of you. You're serving sin. When sin gets the best of you, when you go into the smorgasbord and you say, "I'm not going to eat any cheesecake," and you still do, they got the best of you. You go past Galleria Mall and you said, "I'm not going to do it, I'm not going to do it," but you slide into the casino anyway. Sin just got the best of you. You know what that, you know that thing called the lottery? That's a taxation on stupidity. I'm sorry. You're wasting your money. Well, somebody won. You know what? The prosperity of the fool shall be destroyed. It'll destroy them. How many families have won the lottery and then they've lost their families? They asked a rich man one time, "How much money is enough?" He says, "Just a little more." So if I just had the $1.3 million that the Powerball has, this $123 million at the Powerball is the one I saw in the news. I'm not looking at it, but I saw the news. Then I'd be happy. No, you won't. No, you won't. And I say unto you, verse 34, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. The servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. This is a word of prayer. I'm going to talk on this is a tough one this morning. All right. It's a tough one. It's not politically correct, even though it's really not about politics, about morality. Legislation is our government is trying awful hard to legislate morality or the lack thereof. God knows truth. Now just hang tight with me, all right? I love you. All right? Remember, I still do. Let's pray. I'm going to talk on deceiving ourselves. Deceiving ourselves. Father, thank you again for your blessings. We thank you for the word here. Lord, I need you to help me go through this, to make it clear. I'm not here to hurt anybody, but I am here to give truth. And we know that your word is truth. That's what you said when you prayed. You said, "Lord, sanctify them in your truth. Thy word is truth." And so, Lord, we need to go to the Word. We need to see what it says. And, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will drive it hard into our hearts. And may we not be forgetful hearers, but doers of your Word. And we'll give the praise for it in Christ's name. Amen. So our theme this year is, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." 2 weeks ago, we looked at the significance of truth. And we found that the Word of God is truth. And since Jesus is the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ is the expression of truth. Last week, we asked ourselves the question, why does sin get the best of us? And we saw that sin gets the best of us because we allow ourselves to be deceived. Instead of living and judging reality in the context of truth, we allow the world and the flesh and the devil to lie to us, and we fall for it. Not only that, what we're talking about today, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, so we tend to lie to ourselves as well. Many folks believe that living in freedom really means having the freedom to choose what constitutes truth. However, when we live contrary to truth, we're living in sin. We have been given liberty, but we are not to use that liberty as an occasion to the flesh. We have been given freedom from being bound by the sin and not freedom to sin. And if we go to, if we are going to overcome the urge to deceive ourselves, but rather live according to the real truth, we're going to have to stop wavering on truth. We're going to have to determine the real source of truth and then listen to the truth. And we must know the Word of God, believe and trust the Word of God, and then obey and do the Word of God. Again, let me say these early messages are foundational, but watch me. Let God be true and every man a liar. Let me give you, from last week, we've learned that we need more than salvation to be a victorious Christian. We just read it. Those that believed on him continued in the word. They stayed in the word. There was more to it. And now watch. Number two, we learned a lack of truth is the source of defeat and bondage. He says, listen, whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin. They're bound by the sin. And number three, we found out last week that truth is the source of victory and liberty. James 1:22 says, but be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continue, there it is again, continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. That principle is there. And by the way, mortal man is deceitful. We lie to ourselves. We were there in Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful. In other words, a liar. It's fraudulent. Our heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. We are the most deceitful thing in the universe because we're the most intelligent thing that God has created. And we deceive ourselves. We're desperately wicked. What, you know what that means? We're stuck in wickedness. We're desperate. You're desperate because you can't get out. Somebody who's in quicksand is desperate. The more he flails, the deeper he goes. And we want to live in sin. The more we flail in sin, the deeper we go. But there is one salvation, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who says, I'll grab you by the hand and take you out of that mess if you will let me do it. But you must continue in my word. I am the vine, ye are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. But the Bible says that we, if we will abide in the vine, the fruit where the juices come out, that's Jesus Christ. We will produce fruit. New things will happen in our life. That's what we need to do. But the problem is we lie to ourselves. Now watch me. Don't trust the liar. Even if the liar is you. Let God be true and every man a liar. Now watch me. Trust the word of God above yourself. You're going to say you're worshiping the word of God. You're worshiping the Bible. No, I worship God the Father, and he says, this is my word. And by the way, if you don't want to believe that this is God's word, then you might as well forget about Jesus. We all might as well go home and make this into a basketball place or something. If we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, he's our Savior, we learn that from this word right here, this Bible. Now, if we're going to trust that, we better trust the rest of it and that God put it all together. He preserved, listen, forever thy word is settled in heaven. So he says, we got to believe it. So by the way, so that means watch. If that's the truth, and we don't do this so often, we don't. I need to trust the word of God above my own intellect. I need to trust the word of God above my own opinions. I need to trust the word of God above my experience. Well, I know what I saw. I don't care what you saw. I've got to trust the word of God above my preferences. I've got to trust the word of God. Jeremiah 17:5, right before the heart is deceitful part, he says this. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Every time that we decide we know what truth is and we don't take God's opinion on it, we're departing from the Lord. My wife and I go shopping, and she goes to the produce section, and I departeth. I find the munchies section or something. You go someplace else, you departed. You're looking someplace else, you departed. God says this is truth, and we don't do it. We departed, and he just said, listen, cursed be the man whose heart departeth from the Lord. And we wonder why life is a mess. We wonder why we can't make decisions. We wonder why we've made decisions and we end up where we are. Now, frankly, some of us said, well, I didn't grow up in church. I didn't know. I'm so far down the road already. All right. You know what God says? He'll make all things new. Start now. There may be some wounds. There may be some scars from before. But he says, for we know that all things work together for good to those that love God who are called according to his purpose. Let's start now. And sometimes, the Old Testament says, he may even give you the years the locust ate. Why do we had all this problem. We turned away from God and God sent the locust and ate up all everything. Didn't produce anything. He says, you know what? You know, you turn back. I might. He might. In his mercy. Give you the years back the locust ate. Don't trust a liar, even if the liar is you. Proverbs 28:26. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. What does that mean? The truth shall make you free. Now, a person can convince himself of almost anything. We tell our things that everything is just fine, even when it's not. And we tell ourselves over and over and over again. We need to determine that we will not lie to ourselves. And you're not going to be controlled by your own sinfulness, but you're going to be free by abiding in the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 6:9 says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, that's guys who want to be girls, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, that's homosexual, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Now watch me. Here's how it works. But ye are washed. What does that mean? Washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But ye are washed. Watch. But ye are sanctified. What does that mean? I've set myself apart unto God. Now watch. He said, you were all those things, but you're not. Why? Because you're saved and you've set yourself apart unto God. You're continuing in his word. See, it's all the same thing. And then it says, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Watch me. All things are lawful unto me. So, well, people ought to be able to do whatever they want. They can. But all things are not expedient. Not best for me. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. I will not let my sin get the best of me. Well, how am I going to do that? I'm going to continue in the Word of God. Now, I'm going to talk about something here, the last few minutes here of our message. And this is tough. All right? Just hang tight here with us. Have you ever heard the term self-fulfilled prophecy? I couldn't really find the term I was looking for, so I'm going to use that term. They say that is the definition. A self-fulfilling prophecy is an expectation or belief that someone dwells on so intensely and so long that it can become so strong in their mind that they believe that it's true and it influences their behavior. It influences their perspective on life and other things and can even cause them to believe certain things are true, whether they are actually true or not. Psychologists say the idea behind a self-fulfilling prophecy, also known as the Pygmalion effect, is that your belief about what will happen or has happened drives the actions that make that outcome ultimately come to pass. In other words, if you think everything is going to go wrong, you might put in less effort or fail to take the right steps, and you could turn things around, which means that expecting the worst brings out the worst. And if you truly believe reality is actually something different than it is, it really is, and you continue to dwell on that, you will eventually be willing to stake your life on it. Now, in the Bible says if a man continues to think evil thoughts, he will eventually become evil in his actions. In fact, let me say it this way. Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Now, I understand that passage basically says, it's talking about a king who's schmoozing you, and we're trusting him, but really, he's not what he appears to be. He's what he is in his heart. I understand that. But as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. This is what he thinks. This is what he becomes. If a person obsesses long enough over something, he will probably eventually believe it is true. Now, let me stop right here. This is what's going on in the media right now, in the TV shows. And the thing is, you're hearing it over and over and over. You hear if you watch the late night show, they do it. You watch the news, they do it. You read the newspaper, they do it. Everything can be so doggone biased. Why? Because if you hear it enough and dwell on it enough, eventually you believe it. I was trying to think, maybe somebody else can remember. There was one of Hitler's henchmen who made the statement, I can't remember what it was, maybe somebody can remember, that if you say a lie enough times and loud enough and strong enough, eventually the people will believe it. It was either Goebbels or Himmler or somebody, I don't know who it was. But it was, anybody say they know? Goebbels, okay, I was thinking it was, I wasn't sure. And it's true. Listen, we have already accepted homosexuality as a normal part of society. We have. Society has accepted it. Why? Because we hear it over and over and over. And you know what? We want to be nice people. You know what I mean? We don't want to hurt anybody. And we don't need to hurt on purpose. But we've stopped speaking the truth in love. We don't be angry about it. It's just wrong. We don't have to scourge them. We don't have to do it. But it's wrong. I'm going to give you another example here. Paranoia. You know what I mean when I talk about that? That's an example of this thing. If someone keeps thinking that people are against them, it will eventually seem to be totally real in his mind. He begins to interpret conversations and actions of others in the light of his preconceived notions. Walks into a room and two people are whispering. It must be about them. I'm talking about. Even innocent events may be interpreted in such a way as to support his erroneous belief that he is under attack and should not trust anyone. If someone is told repeatedly that he is probably the target of an attack, it is not long before he imagines he's seeing evidence of it and conspiracy all around him. You know what I'm saying? We've seen that. All right, now hang on. Hang on. If a child is constantly bombarded with doubts about his gender and given suggestions that he may be something other than what he thinks he is or he thought he was, he will begin seeing evidence of it in his own life. Just because a little boy likes to play with dolls does not make him a girl. When I grew up with a bunch of girls. There wasn't a boy hiding their hair anywhere within 5 miles where I grew up when I was real little. If I wanted to play with somebody, I had to play with my sister and my first cousin, who was the daughter of my aunt who helped my mom in the office because we lived behind our business. We had a little apartment behind the business. If I wanted to play, that's what I had to play. I was Shirley. I'm sorry. If I wanted to play, that's what I had to do. Finally, I said, I'm not doing this anymore. So then I was the father. You know what that meant? Go to work. Well, I wanted to play with you. Go to work. I come, it's too soon. Go back to work. If a little girl likes trucks, don't say she's a boy. And say of all things she likes to do, and I believe in modesty and so forth, and But the little girl, she doesn't like to dress frilly. Some little girls, anything with bling and ruffles, they just want as much as they can. They walk in, they'll come into a church and a dress looks like they're a princess. And that's wonderful. I don't have any problem with that. It's fine. But what if they don't like that? What if they're not? Are they a boy? No. Now hang tight with me here. Someone who is constantly being told he is a homosexual or another gender may very well come to the conclusion and believe that he is. Think on these things as a man thinketh in his heart. This is the word of God now, folks. This is the truth. Why is that all of a sudden there's this surge of transgenders? Where have they been all this time? Why is it happening? Because old Satan is pushing it. And people are pushing it with it. They're deceived and being deceived. In fact, you go back just a few years, you really couldn't make that even work. We didn't have all the puberty blockers and the surgery and all the stuff that they can do to change it. We didn't have it. It's not natural. We can't do it. There are some children in our area called furries that believe they are animals. And there is some evidence of this in our own county. Most of them think they're dogs or cats. And some schools have even acquiesced to such lies to the extent that the teachers have been coached and instructed to accept barking and meowing and other such animal behavior as communication and even answers to questions. Some schools have even put litter boxes in the restrooms. Now, I hate to dwell on such issues, but we are here to learn the truth. We are being bombarded with this daily, and it's increasingly becoming more prevalent. And I hate to say it, it is becoming more accepted in our society and even among professing Christians. Our response must be that we must deal with these things in truth, and truth is the Word of God. And some Christians are allowing what they call love and compassion to be exercised in the absence of truth. 1 Corinthians 13, love rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Go back and look it up. If you love that person, you want truth because truth is what's best for us. They're exercising what they believe is true love by overlooking and even endorsing sinful and evil actions that God calls abominations. One of the biggest lies along this line, of course, is the thinking in our current society of transgenderism. Transgenderism is a lie from the devil which has been concocted to destroy mankind. It has been promoted by the world and has been swallowed by society as a way to satisfy their lust. But at the same time, Satan's convincing man to stop being fruitful and multiplying. The first commandment of God to man was be fruitful and multiply. Every time a baby is born, it shows God's miracle power. And speaking of such, Brother Brody, Joe and Colleen Burnham, their son Brody and his wife Braylon just had a little boy. I'm sorry. And let me see here if I can find it real quick here. I have it. I was supposed to announce that. And the little baby's name is, let's see here. I had it. Mason Robert Burnham was born on Friday, 6 pounds, 9 ounces. There are a few issues. You pray for this. They're kind of wondering about a few things, but he was born. Listen, every time a baby is born, it's not just fish. It's not just a bunch of cells and flesh and a fetus. There's a soul, an eternal soul inside that baby that God has created. We are and were created for His glory. That's what it says. We are and were created. God puts that soul in there. Now watch me. Timothy 3:13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. These people really believe this stuff. Now, by the way, you can try to convince them that it's wrong, but you're not going to be able to do that most times. Why? Because the things of God are foolishness to the natural man. I mean, the first thing we got to do is get them saved, folks, and get the Holy Spirit, get the truth. What it says, such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified. That's the process, folks. Get them saved, get them sanctified. Preach the gospel to every creature, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things. It's all the same thing, folks. Why don't we just go ahead and do it? He says, evil men and seducers, people who are telling others, shall wax worse and worse, deceive and be deceived. But, goes on, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. What does that mean? Get in the Bible. Now, it's amazing how we can get so lost in the confusion of lies, even within our own hearts. But that's what it said. The heart is deceitful above all and desperately wicked. And by the way, sometimes when we, and our heart says, wait a minute, are you lying to yourself? Our heart says, oh, no, you wouldn't do that. You know what I'm saying? No, you wouldn't do that. You being honest with yourself? Oh, sure, I'm always honest. I'll give you an example. A young man begins to question his desires and his likes and his dislikes and begins to compare them to society and the norms of society, what they say is truth. And when his likes and desires and favorite activities seem to match the likes and desires and activities of the opposite sex, and behaviorally he seems to match typical attributes of female gender as propagated in our society, and according to the definition that society gives of that gender, he begins to think that he's a girl. Why? Because he has not settled in the truth and is believing a lie, and he's lying to himself because the heart is deceitful, and Satan uses that to destroy society one soul at a time. So now what we need to do is go to truth of the Word of God, our Creator, to find the truth. Well, God made them male and female. However, in all practicality, look at the physical facts. You want to just do that. Take into account your anatomy and your genetic makeup, X and Y chromosomes. I looked this up on Google. You know what it says? Listen, sex chromosomes usually determine whether you are a female or male. Women are XX and men are XY. And that was back in 2016, October 25th, 2016, that was posted. Let me assure you that they are always determined whether you are male or female. And I want to assure you that every person and personality is different. But XX are women and XY are men, just so you know. Now, God has made an infinite, think about it, watch me. God has made an infinite variety of souls in creation. We are not all the same, and we should not force others into our mold. Okay? However, males are still males, and females are still females, and we have no right to change ourselves from what God made us. Let me give you an example from the Bible. You know, it's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Jacob was a twin with Esau. Okay? Now, when they were born, this is the verse that when they were born. So Esau has just been born, I mean just literally been born, okay? Genesis 25, 26, it says this, and after that came his brother out. Now watch me, if it's his brother, what gender are the two boys? They're both boys. His brother, right? They're both boys. Now watch this, hang tight. And his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when he bare them. Verse 27. And the boys grew. And Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field. You know, Esau, man. A man's man. Go out and sweat and stink and, you know, I mean, all the stuff you want to do, go out and hunt, you know, and bring back the food. And, you know, he was a man's man. He was a hunter. Big, burly guy. The Bible said he was very hairy. He was a big, burly guy. Maybe a typical man's man. Huh. Man. Ready? And Jacob was a plain man, dwelling in tents. Now, in the context, the word plain there means not manly, but gentle. Now, guys, there's times we need to be gentle, but he was, you know, kind of on the gentle side. And he dwelt in the tents. Well, I don't want to go out there. It's hot, stinky. You know, I'm going to stay around the house. When I was a kid, now, okay, let me back up here. Be honest with you, and I've said this before. I'm not the most manly guy in the world. I know that. Some folks came over to our house for Christmas. Now, my wife is working so hard. She comes in 6:45 in the morning to teach school. She's here at about 4:30. She goes home, she eats a little bit of dinner, and she's correcting papers till 10 o'clock at night. She works hard. And in fact, and so Christmas came around. And so people came and visited. They said, well, boy, the house looks beautiful. Janet, you did a really great job. And Janet said, I did it. And I hate to say it, I enjoyed it. When we built the building back here, the deacon says, "Preacher, we were talking about, just let's do it. If we don't like it, we'll tell you." I picked out the color scheme. I picked out where it goes. I picked out how we're going to lay this out. I picked out the pictures. I picked out the tables. I picked out all those things, and I put them all in there. And when we came here, I picked out the tables and the pictures that are all around the hallway here. And I'm sorry, I get a kick out of that. When I was 15, I wanted to get a job. Where I was, where I grew up, there was one place that would hire young guys. It was her husband's store. Belinda's store, her husband had a store and a butcher shop underneath of it. And the girls, if they were young, would work upstairs in the store, and guys would work down in the butcher shop. Now, you know what's going on in a butcher shop. Now, I said, I want a good job. I want to make some money. And no one else really wanted to hire me, so I thought, I'm going out there to Bauerlein meat market, and I'm going to get myself a job. It was within walking distance of my house. So I started going out. I'm walking over there. I'm going to get myself a job. And the longer I walked, the more I thought about what goes on at a butcher shop. I almost lost my breakfast in the bushes. I'm sorry, I can't kill Bambi. I couldn't skin a rabbit and have it. I'm sorry. I hate to say it. If we came to that point where we had to live off the land, I hate to say it. I think I'd have to eat vegetables. That's just where I am. I can't do it. But am I not a male? I'm a male. You may not think I'm much of a male, but I'm a male. Okay? Jacob stayed in the house. Watch. Jacob hung around the house making soup with mommy. Remember? Esau, came home, his heart is hungry. I'm about ready to die. What do you got to eat there, Jacob? Well, I got some soup. We made some soup. You want some soup? You can have some soup. You see what I'm saying? Got another one. Oh, by the way, Jacob ended up having 4 wives and 12 over 12 kids. So you know. Anyway, Deborah in Judges says, and there was a big battle, and Deborah, that's a lady, was in here. Barak, believe it or not, said unto her, "If thou wilt go with me to war, then I will go. But if thou wilt not go with me, I'm not going." And she said, "I will surely go with thee, notwithstanding the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor, for the Lord shall sell Sisera," that's the opposing king, "into the hand of a woman." Just so we know, they're all going to say a woman did this, Barak. And he went to Barak to Kadesh, and Barak called Zebulon and Naphtali and Kadesh to Kadesh. And he went up from with 10,000 men at his feet, and Deborah went up with him. Now, was Deborah a man because she was more manly and willing to do the manly thing than the man? No. We have preconceived notions of what a woman is and what a man is, though you can have a Supreme Court who doesn't know. A Supreme Court justice doesn't know. But these stereotypes have evolved in society. They're not necessarily grounded in truth of reality as recorded in God's Word. Listen, our American culture has accumulated a list of characteristics of a man and the characteristics of a woman, which happen to exclude the obvious. And we match our characteristics with those choices and put ourselves in the place of God and decide which set of characteristics we match while ignoring what God made us to be. And somehow, according to our worldly society, we can have all the physical characteristics of a particular gender and still be a different gender if we feel in our inner being that we are a different gender. And yet these same people who want to thumb their noses at God and believe that they all just evolved into this. I read it. I did it a little while ago, a few months ago. The thought of a soul, the concept of soul, was inconsistent with evolution. Souls do not evolve. You go back and look it up. So all we are chemical impulses and electrical impulses and chemical reactions. And so the problem is, if the rest of your body is one thing and your mind thinks it's another, then it's your mind that's got the problem. Fix the chemical reactions and electrical impulses in your brain. Now, that's not the way it works. Well, we know what it is. You know what it is? It's your soul. God made you who you are. And yet the deceitful of our lust, we lie to ourselves, and then we meditate on that lie long enough that becomes truth in our heart. But the heart is deceitful above all and desperately wicked. Whatever it was that got them thinking this way, the point is they're thinking about it in their hearts and thinking about it in their hearts and thinking about it in their hearts. And as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. 1 Corinthians 3:18, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. We go back to our passage in Jeremiah 17. It says this, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be like a tree. It sounds like Psalm 1. He shall be like a tree planted by the waters, and spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Now, how do we overcome the deceitfulness of our own hearts? How do we be? We already did it. 1 Corinthians 6. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, or effeminates, or abusers, or of themselves with mankind, or thieves, or covetous, or drunkards, or revilers, or extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified. In other words, right before God, in the name of the Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit of our God. Now watch, it goes on. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. How is one sanctified? I'm almost done. Jesus said it in his prayer. He prayed for us. In John 17, Jesus said, I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world. I know I'm probably not the only one. Sometimes I like to move to Wyoming or Montana out where there isn't anybody. Sell the TV and sell the internet and you know, get out of there and just live. But then I got to hunt and fish and I don't think I can handle that. He said, I don't pray they're going to take you out of the world. We're still here. But that thou shouldst keep them. Guard them, protect them from the evil. And the grammar assumes evil of the world. He's talking about us. And he says, they're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them, set them apart, help them get through this. Sanctify them through thy truth. You know the last part? Thy word is truth. He goes on, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, he says, I sanctify myself. I set my own self apart to do what God wanted me to do, which meant dying for the sins of the world. He says, I sanctify myself that they also might be sanctified through the truth. I died so they can become new in Christ, so the truth will be in their heart. And they can be set apart from this mess too. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, that's washed, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished, and all good works. Don't deceive yourself. Hang on to the truth of God's word. Trust it above anything you're thinking. I'm serious. Don't deceive yourself.